John 13:1-17. He says, "It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he also showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' Peter said, 'you shall not wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me.' Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, 'Not just my feet, but all my hands, but my hands and my feet.' Jesus answered, 'A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you're clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not everyone was clean.' When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, has washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Pray with me for a minute. Lord, as we open our minds to you, help us to learn what you want us to learn and practice what you want us to practice, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week we saw Mary worship Jesus by pouring expensive perfume on his feet and wiping them with her hair. And this week we see Jesus washing the feet of the apostles to teach them that they are to become servant leaders in his kingdom. Now, the question is, why did the apostles need a lesson in servanthood? Well, as you look at the scripture, you recognize, number one, that part of his last-minute preparation of his apostles for his departure was teaching this lesson, and several others as you go from chapters 13 through 17. We were told that he knew the time had come, there in verse 1, for him to leave this world. And remember, over and over in John, we've seen that things happen and it said it was not his time yet. 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 Until now, Jesus says, it is his time. It's his time to depart the world. And so he's preparing these apostles for his leaving. Also, we're told in Matthew 10 that James and John asked Jesus if they could sit on his right and his left in the kingdom. It seems that as you look at chapter 12 back there, and you look at the triumphal entry, and you look at the people, so many people coming after Jesus, after many had rejected him, that now they think, okay, he is going to set the kingdom up. And he is going to come in here, and he's going to be the king in Jerusalem, and we're going to be the guys that are serving to his right and his left hand. We also know that, according to Luke, that they had been fighting with each other. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And Jesus stops the whole thing and says, here's a lesson you need to learn before you can be effective for me in the kingdom. Now, our lesson today says this. Next slide says, God has called us to become like Jesus. Look at the last phrase. That includes being servants like Him. That includes being servants like Him. He showed this lesson to them, and it's important for us as well. Now, serving like Jesus means several things. Number one, serving like Jesus means we're serving for the sake of love. We're serving for the sake of love. Next slide, please. We're serving for the sake of love. In the first part verse 1 there, he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And what's he saying there? He's saying that he is showing them how much he loved them. Real love demonstrates. You know, it's easier to say you love somebody, but it's another thing to do it in a way that shows them, that demonstrates it. You know, I've used that old illustration over and over. Y'all laugh about it every time, but fellas, when you come home, if your wife had a frying pan in her hand, every time you come home, said, "Bong, I love you, hon." After a while, you get the idea that she really didn't. Well, real love demonstrates it. And we know, according to the Scripture, that this love he talks about is sacrificial love. It's a Greek word that means a sacrificial love. For God so loved the world, agapeo. It's a word that is the highest form of love. It's a love that comes only from God. And only believers can really practice it, because we are part of God and we should be practicing that love. He knew the time had come for his sacrifice. He knew that it was time for him to truly show his love for the entire world by his death on the cross. Now, if you'll read through John sometimes, you recognize that the word love is used lots of times in the Gospel of John, but in chapters 13 through 17, it's used 13 times. Excuse me, 31 times in 13 through 17. 31 times as he prepares his apostles in those chapters for the time when he would die and they would be the ones who represented God in the world. Jesus loved his apostles. He served them. What a great example for us. When you look at this scripture, you recognize also that we're to serve in a loving way. We're to serve in a loving way. Have you ever had anybody give you a gift and say, "Here, take this"? Rah. Huh? Sometimes people feel that way, right? When you throw a gift at someone, here's your gift. Well, you know what? Sometimes we treat people that way in Christian things. We need, the Scripture says that we that love is kind, love is patient in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is kind is important. Paul says later in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. And sometimes we can witness to somebody in a way that's not very loving. You know, "You're going to hell, so you better get it straight, boy. You know, I'm perfect, but you're not." And, you know, so we need to be careful that we serve in a loving way. So serving for the sake of love, that's what Jesus did. That's what we're to do. In verse 2, we see that he serves the undeserving, serving the undeserving. Judas had already decided to betray Jesus. He had already made a deal with the religious leaders that he would point him out so that they could have him crucified. And Jesus, in spite of that, still washed the feet of Judas. Now that's a big lesson for us, because we know that oftentimes we want to take the opposite way. He did this to me, I'm going to do that to him. Jesus says that's not the way we do it. Of course, you have to recognize too that Peter would deny him that evening. He says later in verse 38 of this chapter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." And we see that happening later on down the road. So God knows every sin we've done. He knows every evil we've ever thought. And yet he still loves us. Jesus died for the ungodly. That's me, and that's you. Even in our sin, he died for us. Before we even had a desire to know him, he died for us. Maybe while some of us were making fun of other Christians, he still loved us. He died for us in our wickedness. So, serving the undeserving. Let me ask you this. Do you have somebody in your life that's undeserving of being served? Somebody maybe at work who gets on your nerves? Ooh. Somebody in your neighborhood who's always doing the wrong thing and maybe throwing his trash in your yard when he drives by, his cup from the... See, that's the kind of person that really needs service in order to win them to Christ. But we were studying this morning in Matthew, and you know, he said that we are to show love to those who show us hate. And we are to help those who are not helpful to us. Because that's the way we show that we are God's children. Jesus did it. Why can't we do it? He did it for the man who would betray him, serving the undeserving. Serving for the sake of love, serving the undeserving. The third thing in there, verse 3, serving no matter what your position. Now, as you look at verse 3 there, it tells us this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God. Now, the idea there is that he is the sovereign creator. He is the one who's over all creation. He's the one that is the King of Kings. And yet the King of Kings is serving the ones who were his disciples. He's taking the place of a servant. The sovereign Son of God chose to serve a group of proud men in order to teach them humility. He took the opposite position so they could learn what it was. As you look at what was done here for them, when you look back in history to find out about this washing of the feet, we don't usually do that because we wear shoes, right? Most of us do. Well, some of us do. You know, in their day, you might take a bath and then go have supper with somebody. But as you walked on the road, they didn't have nice paved streets like we do in Henderson. And so when you're walking in the dust, your feet would get dirty because you wore sandals probably. And when you walked into the door, a servant would wash your feet as you came in. But it wasn't just any servant. It wasn't the head servant. It was the lowest servant in the house. Because after all, who wants to do the dirtiest jobs? Only Mike Rowe on that show, right? He's the only one. And so, if only the lowest servant was responsible for washing feet, why did Jesus do it? Because he was teaching them a lesson. He was trying to show them what true leadership was about in the kingdom of God. If you're going to be leaders, you have to be servants first. Jesus took the role of a servant. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 describes, that Paul there describes what Jesus did in taking the role of a servant to come to the earth. And I want you to notice some important words in that chapter. Excuse me. In Philippians 2, starting with verse 5, he says this, I want your attitude to be just like that of Christ. Now, obviously, the Philippians had a problem with being servants, so he's saying, this is the way I want you to be. I want you to be just like Jesus in your attitude. Now, being a servant is a matter of attitude, right? It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. It's your attitude that counts. And when we have the wrong attitude, we say things like, I'm not doing that job. You do that job. No, I'm not doing that job. I'm the boss. You do that job. And we have those kind of attitudes. I'm not going to get out there and weed eat that place. I'm more important than that. I've got more important things to do than take out the trash and wipe the behind of little babies in the nursery and whatever. And so he's talking about attitude. It starts with our attitude. Notice this in verse 6. Who being in very nature God. What's he saying? The eternal God, the King of kings, in heaven, in all of his glory. And we have no idea of the glory of God. We've never seen it. And I imagine, you know, that song says, what will I do, Jesus, when I see you? Will I dance and what all? You ain't going to do nothing but say, whoa, praise Jesus. We'll be so overwhelmed, we won't be able to talk, I don't think. We'll just be able to bow down and before him and admit how great he is. We won't be thinking about dancing and anything else. We'll be looking at him and how great he is. And that great eternal God, that King of kings, didn't have the attitude that he could not come down and help us. He had the very opposite. He came down to help us. Look at verse 7. Made himself nothing. What does nothing mean? He made himself a zero, even though he was the top dog. Made himself nothing. Notice that important word, nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant. And that word is doulos in the Greek. It means slave. Not, we think of a servant as somebody who might be paid. You know, they might be the guy who brings your luggage when you go to the hotel or whatever. No. These were people who had no rights. They were slaves. They did what they were told, when they were told, and the way they were told it. He took on that kind of a role. He wasn't just a paid servant. He was the bottom. He made himself the bottom. Why? Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. Look at the next word. He humbled himself. He chose that. He humbled himself and became obedient. There's another word we don't like as Americans. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm a free person. I live in America. Obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then he says, therefore God exalted him to the highest places. So serving, no matter what your position, Jesus was in the highest position that could be. He's King, King, Lord of Lords, and yet he took a role of a slave and even went to die for people who didn't appreciate it, although he was the one perfect human being that ever lived. That's a perfect example. And that same God that did that was the one washing the feet, the filthy feet of those men that night, washing the feet of men who were fighting over who was the greatest. Now imagine how they must have felt when that started happening. And if I know Christ right from what we see here, that he did it quietly. Imagine if you're one of those 12 and you've come to this supper and you're sitting around there and one's saying, no, I'm greater than you. I ought to be on the right hand. No, I ought to be on the right hand. They're not in any worshipful attitude, believe me. They're like a couple of little second graders who are saying, I'm bigger than you. No, I'm bigger than you. And they're doing that in a time when they know and they've seen that Jesus is hurting. In these chapters, we see Jesus' attitude was, he was hurting. And I don't want to say depressed, but he was considering what was going to happen. And yet they're fighting among themselves who's the greatest. He's trying to say, I am dying. You don't get it, guys. I'm going to die here this week. Less than a week away, I'm dying on this cross. And they're still thinking, because of the triumphal entry there in the last chapter, and people are going after Jesus, hey, he's putting up his kingdom. I don't think he's going to die. And I'm going to be the number one after him. In the middle of all that, the King of Kings picks up that water, puts a towel around himself, and without saying a thing, goes to the first disciple and takes his feet, takes the sandals off, and begins to wash. Did it get quiet in the room? You better believe it did. Because he was humbling himself to the lowest degree, right there. And then when you see the response of Peter, when he comes to Peter, look at verse 8. He comes to Peter and Peter says, "Hey, no way! No, Lord." Now, do those two words go together in a sentence? "You will never wash my feet." "Oh, no, 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 no." "No, Lord, no way, no, no, no." You know. Now, some think, well, he was being noble and he was doing a good thing, but Peter was actually rejecting what Jesus was doing. He's saying, "No, you're wrong and I'm right." And Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't get to wash your feet, you don't have anything to do with me." "Oh, well then give me a whole bath." You know, Peter's got his foot in his mouth and Jesus is trying to wash it at the same time. And so Jesus said, "Look, I'm trying to show you a picture of what you're to be." And Peter, as usual, you're way ahead of me. You're not catching on. Now listen, loving service also does what needs to be done. Does what needs to be done. Look at the next slide. In verse 4, how many of those men had been washing feet? No one. How many of them had gotten up at the beginning before that meal started and done that for others? No, they were fighting and they were arguing. Usually when you came in at the beginning, somebody would wash your feet. But after the meal is done, Jesus begins washing feet. He took the place of that slave, as we talked about. And I was thinking, as I saw this, I was thinking of people who work for God, and you say, "Thank you," and they just say, "I was just doing what needed to be done." Have you ever done that? You know, I tell you all that once in a while, "Hey, if you see a piece of paper up there, don't go, 'I'm calling one of the deacons, so let's see, get a committee up and we'll pick up the paper.'" You just do it. If you see that something needs to be cleaned up around here, don't say, "Well, what happened to the person who was supposed to clean it?" Just do it. Do what needs to be done. That's what Jesus was doing. Some of the greatest servants of God just do what needs to be done. They're not calling up the preacher to get a committee up. They're not saying, "Hey, preacher, you ought to be doing that." Years ago, there was a door that needed to be painted. And one of the men who was in charge of that kind of thing looked me straight in the eyes and said, "Well, it'd be great if somebody painted that this week." He did everything but pick up the brush and get the paint, and he put it in my hand. And he was not busy. It's always easy to find somebody else that can do it, right? Just doing what needs to be done. That's what Jesus was doing. James chapter 4, verse 17 says this: "Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." Great servants just do what needs to be done. That's what Jesus was doing. The last one. Service for Jesus means doing it, doing what others will not do, the menial and dirty tasks. How many times have we talked about needing nursery helpers? How many people are doing that job? The same people that have been doing it for the ever how many years they've been doing it. Look at the list. Look at the list. They're doing it without being asked. That's what Jesus did. They're doing it without being asked. Every once in a while I catch somebody around here doing something that needs to be done that they haven't been asked to do, and they just appear. One dear lady, a while back, brought her own weed killer and her own little pump on a hot day and sprayed weeds. Others have come here and cleaned refrigerators and freezers, worked on the bathrooms without being asked, doing what others wouldn't do. I won't even mention cutting grass because somebody said one time, Brother Sermon fusses at us too much about that. So don't even think about all that grass that needs to be cut. Don't even think about the weed eating that needs to be done. Don't think about that. They do it without being asked and without expecting rewards. The greatest servants of God aren't looking to get paid for what they do. They're looking just to do what God's work needs to be done. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, hey, don't go around advertising that you're great at praying. Don't go pray in the middle of the street so that people know about it, because you won't get a reward from God. You already got what you wanted. Don't make a big deal about putting money in the offering, because you won't be rewarded for that, because you already got your reward. You wanted people to notice, they noticed. God's not going to reward you for that. And he goes through those kind of things. The greatest servants of God aren't looking for reward. But as you see down here in verse 17, Jesus promises that you will be blessed if you serve for God. Now listen to me. God called us to become like Jesus. That includes being servants like him. And the question comes, how are you going to start serving? We say, what can I do to serve God? Look around you at the people in your life. Look around at the people you work with. Look at the people in your neighborhood. Look around your church and ask God where you can serve. And then just do it. Just do it. And just serve and obey. Sing with us.